Different eras of pop music have signature sounds, studio tricks used by record producers to hype up the music. Sometimes these sounds are a part of why certain songs have become timeless. When Sam Phillips recorded Elvis Presley, he used a particular kind of tape delay technique that he called slapback echo to add depth and rhythmic interest. Songs like Mystery Train have an unforgettable sound. Other studio tricks are why songs can seem dated. A decade ago, it was the extreme abuse of auto-tune. Whether it was used to make a vocalist sound like a robot or as a quick fix for bad singing, auto-tune could pull the life completely out of a performance. The cliché of this era is the use of distortion on the voice. The sound of an overdriven amp is a natural part of guitar playing, but producers now use it to beef up the lead vocal track. There are lots of good reasons to do it. Distortion can make the voice sound more rich. Computers don't have the same warm patina that tape and vacuum tubes naturally add, so putting the vocals through a guitar fuzz pedal is an easy fix. It's also a way to sound retro, channeling the great blues and Motown singers of two generations ago. And sometimes it's used as a telephone effect, which can support the narrative of the song. But lots of times distortion is a mask. Sometimes it hides a good performance and gets in the way of the experience. Other times it artificially hides the fact that the singing wasn't very strong to begin with. Whether for good or bad reasons, I just hope they don't make fun of our distorted vocals 10 years from now.
Support for this podcast comes from Hopping Gnome Brewing, offering a variety of locally brewed craft beers. Hopping Gnome is dedicated to the Wichita craft beer revolution. Open Thursday to Sunday at Douglas and Hydraulic. HoppingGnome.com. Brewed for the locals.
The Black Keys there with Tighten Up as we welcome you into musical space. I'm Fletcher Powell here, of course, with Mark Foley. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Fletcher. Thanks for having me.
And that Black Keys tune, definitely using the distortion on the vocals. No doubt about that.
Right. Yeah. Dan Auerbach, he's one of the two guys in Black Keys. He's become a big producer, and that's a big part of his sound right now.
Yeah, his sound really is pretty distinct. When I listen to works he's produced with other people, I pretty much know right away it's Dan Auerbach.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, I'm talking about studio cliches here, but I want to stress that I've picked really good songs. I don't have any problem with the production on any of these tunes. Dan Auerbach is awesome. But I have a feeling that some of these things might go a little too far sometimes in maybe lesser tunes. So anyway, well, we're gonna be listening to good songs today.
As we know, anything can be used for good or evil.
Right, totally.
And in this case, we'll look at the good side of these things. And it would be kind of fun, instead of just to go song by song as we often have, let's take a look at these effect by effect. That
yeah.
might be a little bit more fun. You mentioned up top just a bit ago the slapback echo in the 1950s.
Yeah. Sam Phillips was the producer. He was working at Sun Studios in Memphis. No, Sun Studio. I shouldn't have pluralized that because it's just one room in this little storefront. But yeah, that's where Carl Perkins recorded, Jerry Lee Lewis, Johnny Cash, Roy Orbison, all these great people. Sam Phillips had a big part of their sound, and he figured out that you could use a certain characteristic of tape recorders. So the tape is being recorded as it passes over the record head, and then it goes past the record head to the playback head. And that, when you're recording, usually that playback head isn't being used for anything. It's just sitting there. But he took that feed off of there. Obviously, this is later in time when this tape passes through, and that's a natural echo. He just fed that back into the record head, and it becomes this really characteristic sound. I think the tune Mystery Train by Elvis Presley is like the perfect example of this.
Well, it's bringing my baby, 'cause she's my. And then, as you said, plenty of other examples of that. One that I have always really enjoyed from John Lennon.
Yeah, he was extreme with this. And it's kind of fun to follow this thread because John Lennon was, you know, heavily influenced by these Sun records. And so when he started doing his solo stuff, like this song, Instant Karma, he really, really did slap back. I mean, it's crazy. Once you're cognizant of it, you just can't believe how much he turned that thing up. So he's got it on the voice and also on the drums, which makes this really crazy rhythmic effect.
Are there any examples, maybe, of people going back, contemporary artists going back and using this effect that you can think of?
It's being used all the time, as we will see later in the program.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, Slapback Echo is kind of a staple now. And like a lot of these things, it's a way of sounding retro, and it's a way of making things sound rich.
So jumping from the slapback echo there in the 1950s all the way up to the 1980s, you're talking about something called gated reverb. Tell me what in the world this is.
Yeah, okay. This is really geeky. This is like a little personal pet peeve of mine. Most of you have never thought of this, but a gated reverb, it's this characteristic sound that they really, really abused in the 1980s. That was kind of a bad time for recording production because all this great old tube gear was being gotten rid of, and things were getting into more transistorized stuff. And then digital technology started coming in, and it was really primitive and really sterile sounding.
And really overused.
Yes. Yeah. They were like, oh, we've got these toys. Let's use it. So they had these really cheap reverb units, which is like an echo unit. It just kind of adds, you know, it makes it sound like the sound is in a big room, right? Okay, so you're a record producer and you want the song to be really hyped up. So you turn up a reverb on the snare because the snare is the backbeat. That's a really big part of the beat. But now we've got this snare that lasts for 3 seconds, and that's going to wreck the groove completely. So they add this other effect on top of it, which is called a noise gate. A noise gate cuts out sound that's below a certain threshold. So it's a nice way of keeping noise out of, a guitar track with a little amp buzz going on. If the guitar's not playing, the noise gate shuts down, and then you don't get that background noise. So they put the gate on this reverb sound. So then now we've got this huge reverb, and then it suddenly cuts off. And so your snare drum, instead of sounding like a whack, it sounds like a...
Oh, God.
Yeah, right. But if it's used subtly, it's really nice. If you listen to anything by Phil Collins from that period, it's not so nice. And I really respect him. He's an amazing singer. He's an amazing drummer. I love all his projects. But yeah, sometimes the production, yeah, it's kind of dated. But anyway, I wanted to figure out a song that really uses it well. And so I wanted to choose something that Steve Lillywhite would produce because he produced a lot of the great English bands in the 80s. Let's see, he did U2, he did Peter Gabriel. people I really like. This is one of my favorite bands, XTC. I know we've talked about them before.
Sure.
This is a tune called Towers of London.
Then I think something that just about everybody's familiar with at this point, just because it was we were so saturated with it during at least the early 2000s, it's Auto-Tune. One more time.
Yeah, here we go. Auto-Tune rears its ugly head. It's too bad it was so overused because it's an amazing effect. You know, you've got this box that if you sing into it, the box decides what note you're trying to sing and then corrects it to make it perfectly that note. And it's being used all the time. I've seen it in studios. Well, we could do another vocal take or we could just send it through Auto-Tune, either one. Which one is going to be cheaper and quicker? So, yeah, it's used way more than you think. A lot of really, really slick productions, like even a lot of country singers. Very, very auto-tuned.
So when it's used subtly, it sounds like it can actually work in some sense.
Right, yeah. It's very perfect, though. Like, you kind of start losing some of the essence of the vocalist when the machine just kind of pegs it into this, you know, this box. Mm-hmm. But auto-tune is very cool, and a lot of like electronica people have used it to, you know, use it as an effect to make it sound like a robot. And who better to sound like a robot than Daft Punk?
Celebration tonight. Celebrate. Don't wait too late. No, we don't stop. You can't stop. We're gonna celebrate one more time.
Yeah, you mentioned, of course, Daft Punk right there that we're hearing, and a lot of electronica music using auto-tune. Something I found really interesting was Bon Iver, who is, or at least began more or less as a folk singer type, mm-hmm. Jumped into auto-tune and even used it with some of his more folky type tunes.
Yeah, it's a really interesting sound they're going for with Bon Iver. It's folky, but it's really, really electronic at the same time, and his latest album has really gone that direction. So we'll see where this thread takes us.
I'm up in the woods. I'm down on my mind. I'm building a still to slow down the time. I'm up in the woods. I'm down on my mind. I'm building a still to slow down the time. I'm up in the woods. I'm down on my mind. to slow down the time. I'm up in the woods, I'm down on my land, I'm building a stew to slow down the time.
Auto-tune something that can distort vocals, but when you were talking about distorted vocals earlier, and especially with somebody like the Black Keys, you mean something a little bit different, not just auto-tune, but really distorting those vocals.
Yeah, imagine taking a voice and sending it through an overdriven amplifier like you would a guitar, really fuzzy, like trying to sound like maybe Jimi Hendrix or somebody like that. It can be a very cool effect. And anytime I think about studio production techniques, it always comes down to the Beatles, doesn't it? I don't know if they're the first people to do this, but they absolutely perfected this. You know, the idea of, you know, fuzzing up the vocals. And they did a lot of tunes where it really kind of helps the narrative of the tune, the bizarre tune, I Am the Walrus. You know, if you're going to be singing, I am the Eggman, I am the Eggman, I'm the Walrus, you've got license to go a lot of interesting sonic directions.
I don't know, Mark. It makes perfect sense to me.
Then later on, distorted vocals started coming back in a big way. I think one of the big groundbreaking bands to do this was The Strokes. And I've heard different stories about this. I think maybe one of the stories was they had a microphone that didn't work very well and they just kind of liked it. I don't know if that's actually true, but it's a great story. Their sound is really, really distinct. I just can't believe how interesting their sound is.
You know The Strokes, right, when you hear
them.
There's no question about it.
Right. The production is absolutely spot on. And it's good that no one's trying to sound like them. I mean, they sound like them. This album, their first one, Is This It? There's this really beautiful song called Hard to Explain. I really like the vocals in this one.
Strokes, of course, definitely with a distinct sound. Another group with a distinct sound, and that I didn't expect to see on here because I haven't heard this tune, Vampire Weekend.
Yeah, Vampire Weekend. I wanted to do something really, really, you know, new, and so here we go. This song is called Diane Young from the Modern Vampires of the City album from 2013. I wanted to end up with this tune because it also uses slapback echo. So we've gone full circle.
So we've got the distorted vocals, we've got the slapback echo.
And there's, in the middle part of the tune, there's some weird filtration, like maybe it's going through a wah pedal or something. But yeah, very distinctive.
Baby,
Well, we'll take it out there with Vampire Weekend. So many different effects through our history of music. It all makes it a lot of fun, although, as Mark said earlier, sometimes it can be used for evil as well.
Right, yeah. Sorry about that.
Well, we'll close it out there. As always, thank you, Mark, so much.
Thanks, Fletcher.
And for KMUW, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Baby, right on time.